Honored you be here tonight. Got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank the Lord. Now, open your Bible and go with me back to the book of 2 Kings. You know, of all the years that I have been at Jordan, all the years that I preached, I've always had wonderful liberty every night to preach the Word of God. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I've always had wonderful liberty to preach every service. Look in your Bible in 2 Kings in chapter 7. I'm going to find your place. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I'm going to start reading in verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. Brother Billy, how many of you have ever had one? Jimmy, have you ever had a day like this to where you run all day and don't accomplish nothing? Yes. Be honest. Yes. Merle, do you ever have one of them days where you just get up, run all day long and don't accomplish nothing? Am I the only one? That's been one of them days. So I got up this morning. I get up real early. I don't know why I do this stuff. I don't know why I get up early. 5 o'clock, 4:30. I don't understand it. It could be AGE, Merle. That's probably your problem. Okay, but I get up real early. And I want you to listen. I go down to the garage, and I take my lawnmower, and I'm servicing the lawnmower, sharpening the blades on the thing, getting ready. To just mow my grass down. It looks like a hay field anyway. But anyway, I was busy running here, running there, running back, running here, making sure of this, trying to get all this done. So I had this on my mind. I thought, if God will let me get here tonight, I want you to look in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I want you to look in verse 2. Everybody. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Now, if you want to take time, read verse 16 and verse 18, and that's a fulfillment of that. But now look in verse 3. And there were four leper men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Let me say it again. Why sit we here till we die? Verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine's in the city, and we will die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Look in verse 5. They rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Boy, and I love this. The next verse says, for the Lord hath made, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord hath made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose, that is the enemy of Israel, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, their horses, and their asses, even as the camp as it was. Now watch. And fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they did eat, they drink, they carried then silver, gold, raiment, went in, and they hid it, and they came again and entered into another tent, and they carried thence also, and then went and hid it. Now look at verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. If we hold our peace, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now in a way of introduction, let me give you this. We find it doesn't matter what Brother Billy says or what I say, it's what thus saith the Lord. That's all that really matters. If you go back and look in verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. That phrase is used over 4,400 times in the Word of God. Now, if you drop down to verses 4, anybody here that's done any kind of Bible study at all knows that leprosy is a type of sin. Right. You got to picture this in your mind. They probably don't have no nose. They probably, their upper lip is gone. Their fingers is probably just stubs, and their toes are just stubs. All right, they're sitting there. They've been totally, the Syrians have encamped all the way around Samaria. Now, sometimes this would take months and months on end before they would ever run out of water and food and everything else. Now, on the outside, you find these four leper men sitting there. Now, that's what I want to focus in on, where it says, why sit we here till we die? I want to ask you something. Which direction are we going? I'd like to ask you that. I want that to somehow or another lodge in your brain. On which direction are we going? Now, what I mean by that is this. I'm saved, going to heaven. How many of y'all can say, I'm saved, going to heaven? Amen. All right, if that's true, then our hope is in the Lord Jesus. Not in the Republican, not the Independent, no. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. Now, watch this. I know I'm going to heaven. You ought to have been with me last week on Friday night when the Turner sisters came and at Valley Oak, and the building was filled with people. You ought to have been there when these two big old boys that was in college got their hearts right with God. The one over here to the left, here's what he said. He was so broken, he came and said, nobody pumped him, nobody primed him, but here's what he said. He said, I've got the assurance of my salvation. Boy, it's wonderful when you know you're saved. It's wonderful to know that, I mean, my name's in the rope around in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's wonderful to know my sins is forgiven. Amen. It's wonderful to know that I have a future. Right. But I'm going to ask you something. Why sit we here till we die? Let me show you what I mean. Drop over it if you don't mind, and let me read verse 24 in chapter 3. Chapter 6. It came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all the hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. In other words, they camped around about them. Nobody's going in. Nobody's coming out. Now look down, if you would, in verses 25. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, the fourth part of a cab of a dove's wings for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing up on the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. He said, if the Lord do not help thee, which shall I help thee out of the barn floor, out of the winepress? Now watch this. The king said unto her, what aideth thee? And she answered, said, the woman said unto me, give me thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. Now you've got to agree, brother, things is bad on the inside of there. Say amen. Things are bad on the inside of there. There's nobody coming in. There's no food going in. There's no water. And they're eating their own children. They're even eating waste. Now, brother, that's a crisis mode. Will y'all agree with that? But outside the gates, there are 4 men sitting there. And they said, why sit we here till we die? Why do we sit here till we die? If we go back, we're going to die. If we just sit here, we're going to die. But just maybe, if we go to the host of the Syrians, just maybe they'll spare our lives. Well, I got to thinking, that's dangerous for me to do. Say amen. Amen. You didn't have to be so agreeable. You died a bit sorry. You know I'm picking, Billy. Watch this. Look down in the next verse. So we boiled my son and did eat him. That's in verse 29. Hey, Brother Porter, that's pretty bad. Will you agree with that? I don't know how things can get much worse in our culture. I'll be honest with you, I don't know, Terry, how much worse it can get in our culture. I know it's going to, but I don't know. In my 74 years, I've never seen nothing like it, Doc. I seen today where a man, literally, they pulled him over and found 5 babies in the trunk of a car in a plastic bag. 5 little dead babies. Look at y'all's faces. I see where a man came out of Cincinnati. They found him in Lexington, and he killed his 2-month-old son. I seen where over in eastern Kentucky, a man burnt a house down, put his young man, a 2-year-old son, inside of a washing machine and burnt the house down. I seen where a woman took a child and put it in a microwave. How much worse can things get? All right, we're in a crisis. Well, y'all all agree with that. Now, I want you to go back and let me zero on this. We're trying to have a revival meeting or a moving of God. I want you to look in chapter 7 and look down, if you would, in verse 4. You see, so many people, they say, Brother Sisson, they said, why sit we here? If we sit still, we're going to die. Well, I put it in my mind. I thought to myself, all right, I don't know how y'all feel. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life when it's all over. But brother, we're in a crisis mode. You got abortion. Do you think God's going to let us get by with killing 61 little million babies? Then could that be the reason why we're having famines, floods, fires? Look at California. I mean, hey, I believe the Lord's trying to burn that place down, amen. Whatever was out in California will eventually be right here in Kentucky. It'll come this direction. Say amen. It just takes it a while. Brother Billy, I flew into L.A. I don't care about Los Angeles. I'm sorry. I don't care about L.A. Man, I flew it. You been there? Oh, you been there, Porter? How many of y'all have been to Los Angeles, California? You said, hurry up and get me out of here, didn't you? Brother Billy, when I flew into there, you talk about a culture shock. I seen men leading men around with dog collars and leashes. I seen men kissing each other in the mouth. I seen yellow hair, purple hair, everything under God's green earth. I never seen that. And I thought to myself, Lord, help us. That's California. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So now then we're reaping what has been sowed. Look at the abortions. Look at the fires. Look at the volcanoes erupted. Surely the Lord, I told my wife today, I don't want to be here. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm 74 and I'm not wanting to die. I enjoy living. I really do. I enjoy living. But I'm telling you before God, have you ever thought what it's going to be like in 2025, if there is a 2025? We're sitting here on Jordan Baptist Church talking about this stuff here on Tuesday night on how things are now. How would you like to see the headline news in every major newspaper in the United States for today? I'm telling you before God, there's a famine, a great famine. If you look in chapter 7, look in your Bible, there was a great famine. Well, I got to thinking, it can't ever happen. Look at it, it is happening. You pedophiles. I had a preacher, a 55-year-old veteran preacher. 55 years he'd been in ministry. Here's what he said. I never dreamed of you men ever using the language y'all use in the pulpit. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, when I was a young preacher, he said, you wouldn't dare use the language that preachers use today in the pulpit. Pedophiles. Homosexuals. Lesbians. But what I'm saying is, it's so normalized to where it's been. If we don't cry out against it, our culture's going down the sewer, say amen. Brother, we need a moving of God. If we just sit still, we're going to die. If we go back, we're going to die. Hey, but notice in your Bible, boy, I probably sure enough have a spell. Look in your Bible. Watch this. I want you to read this with me. But the dilemma, they were eating their children. They were eating dung. They were setting dung. It's bad inside the four gates. Sure, I admit that. And it's a bad culture. But I'm telling you, for us, it's going to get better. Whoopee! Boy, I praise the name of God. It's going to get better for us that's saved. If Jesus comes, it's all over. Amen. You know what I've always wanted to do? She's always making fun of me, my wife. I've always thought hope, maybe, just maybe, the Lord's going to, he don't come back to the earth. He comes suspended over it. And he says, come up hither. And he's going to call the saved right up out of here. I'd like to get up about 10,000 feet and holler back, I told you so, just loud as I could holler. That's what I'd like to do. I know it ain't going to happen, but I'd like to. Say amen, Bill. Wouldn't that be good? It ain't going to happen, but I'd like to. Say amen. You'd like to, too. I know you would. We've told it and told it and told it. Somebody asked me, Kathy, do I believe in global warming? Not the way they proclaim it, but yes, this thing is heating up. If you don't believe me, go to 2 Peter 3 and I'll prove it to you. Turn to 2 Peter 3 and I'll prove it to you. Now I want you to watch 2 Peter 3. I can quote it, but let me read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Do I believe in global warming? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and look, if you would, in your Bible in verse 10. The Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, and with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now watch. And the earth also, the works of therein, shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure out. Everything climatically is getting ready for something to happen, and that's called the rapture. Amen. Amen. Glory. Yes. I don't care how much they deny it. It's still heating up. Well, the glaciers are all melting. And the earth is turning on its axis. And it's moving to some degree. And that's causing the shift of it. Look down to the next verse. Now, I'll probably have a spell. Let me show you what I mean. All right, so that you have to agree there was a dilemma out there. Say amen. Here sits these four leper men in bad shape. I mean terrible. And they said, well, if we go back in the city, we're going to die. But now drop down, look back in 2 Kings, and watch what happens. Now I want you to watch. Look, if you would, in verses 6, please. For the Lord hath made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots. Hey, the Lord could have just as easy killed all of them. Why did he do that? Why did he say, the Lord hath made? I don't care how bad it gets. Thank God there's going to be grace for the child.
Yes, amen.
Woo! Right. Some of y'all take Ritalin and Valium. Think about this for a moment. Just think about it. Everything is pointing to the event called the rapture.
Right.
I mean everything. Everything you can think of. But here's what the next verse, in verses 4, I believe it is. Now I want you to write this on the fly leaf of your Bible. Hope you never forget it. Now, they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. Now watch it. If we go back, we're going to die. What in the name of heaven, Brother Billy, is out in this world that everybody wants to go back to? This thing wrecked, the world wrecked and ruined my life. Young people, look at me tonight. Look at me this. Don't go to the world. It's not your friend. Don't form no kind of alliance with it. The Bible says, come out and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Amen. But I'm saying, what is back there that everybody wants to go back to? The hell holes, the bars and nightclubs. The emptiness. What is back there? They said, if we go back, we're going to die, right? If we go back there, we're going to die. Well, this world is not my friend. In fact, if you're a friend of the world, the Bible says then you're an enemy of God. Personally, I think we got way too much world in us into anyway. Okay, now watch. I got to show you now. So if we go back, we're going to die. We need a revival of going forward, not back. Now look in your Bible, chapter 7. Look what happens down in verses 5, 4. If we sit here, we're going to die. In other words, if we go back, we're going to die. I mean, they're eating their own children. Well, if we go back, we're going to die. And they're eating dust, I mean, dung. If I go, I don't want to go back there. But if we just sit here, we're going to die. Say amen.
Amen.
If we just sit here, we're going to die. Could I tell y'all something? Look at me for a moment. We are dying slowly, gradually. We're dying.
Amen.
Brother Sisson, please don't say that. How many churches was we in that's down to 5 people, 4 people? How many did King B have? 4? Brother Porter, I know this is hard for people to believe. This is Pulaski County, this ultra-conservative county that we live in. Y'all know where King B's at?
Yes.
How many of y'all know where King B is? It's a community. Can you believe that King B Baptist Church, Brother Jimmy, was they down to 4 people? 4 people, 4 women. 4. There's 3 Baptist churches in this county that are down to, 3 and 4 people. Buena Vista's out there fixing to close their doors. Well, it can't ever happen to us. Yes, it can. I'm telling you, we need to, listen to me, please. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, it says, thou art dead. I'm telling you, our spiritual lives, we are anemic. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I didn't say that. But I'm talking about if we just sit still, if we go back, we're going to die. If we just sit still, we're going to die. Where is the soul winners at? Where's people that you can't get them to sing in the choir? You can't get them to teach a class? Can't get them to drive a bus? Can't get them to go out knocking on doors? I mean, there is no burden anymore for people, and we're dying. If I know anything, anybody here real good on the anatomy of the body? Anybody here at all?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brother Billy, we have to have the right red cells and white cells.
Right.
In order to make a body healthy, you got to produce cells.
Right.
Well, in order to make a church healthy, we have to reproduce ourselves.
Right.
Spiritually.
Right.
They wasn't all of this deadness when back in the 35, 40 years ago.
Right.
They wasn't.
Right.
People had a burden for people. They wanted people to be saved. That's the answer. It's not, everybody's talking about the culture. Hey, if you change their heart, that'll change the culture. Amen.
Right.
We got everything turned around backwards.
Yes.
We're going to send them to a psychologist.
Yes.
Like 2 men met at a psychiatrist's office. He said, are you coming and going? He said, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here. That's like us. We don't know whether we're coming or going. Say amen.
Right.
So we send them and we say, do an analysis on their brain. They did on me and Brother Billy and found it 0. But if you go, I'm telling you before God, that's not the answer. Psychologists and psychology is not the answer. The answer is your heart is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it's deceitfully and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Somebody said, if I know my own heart, you don't know your own heart. It's wicked as hell. You need a heart transplant, and God's the only one that can give you that. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Well, we need to produce more money. That'll change the school habit. Boy, I admire Jordan Baptist. Look at me. Everybody, look at these little beady eyes. I admire you for investing in these young people. Do this. Yes. I told my wife today, I need to get off this kick of watching news. I do. I need to get off the kick of watching news. It is so depressing. I mean, I can't handle it. I'll be honest with you. I just can't handle it. I get in the office mood after I watch the news. It don't make no difference whether it's Fox, HLA, you know, it don't matter what it is. But I told my wife, I don't want to be here. Have you ever thought when this generation that's 18, they're going to get 21? Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like? Say amen. That's the reason why that I admire you for giving of your money, your monetary gain, your time to invest in young people. To me, they're worth it.
Right.
Hey, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and die and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Right.
Don't die on me. Churches ought to invest in the souls of young people.
Yes.
Hang on just for a minute. Let me tell you why. Jesus said this. Have you ever thought about the value of a soul? It's worth more than all the wealth in the whole world.
Right.
So we ought to be teaching them, training them, and telling them.
Yes.
Amen, brother, sister.
Right.
And we ought to be instilling stuff in their minds. Amen, preacher. Let me show you what I mean. Flip over the book of Titus. I want to show you this. We're talking about sitting still and dying. Now, I want you to watch this. Well, if we go back, we're going to die. That's what they said. If we sit still, we're going to die. Go to the book of Titus. I want to show you the book of Titus, chapter 2. There's 31,102 verses in the Bible, and I want you to read Timothy, Titus, let me find my place, Titus chapter 2, and I want you to look, if you don't mind, in verse 1, everybody. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women, whoa, look out now, the aged women, that they likewise, that they be behavior as becometh holiness. Oh, did I say that? Now watch, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of a good thing, that they, who in the name are they? Who are they in that verse?
Age women,
that they, did y'all get that? How in the name of heaven, how can you be a teacher them when you got them in a daycare? I know y'all ain't going to believe this. I have been with preachers. We've been out, and they'd say, Brother Sisson, do you mind before we go back to our room? I need to get my grandson or my granddaughter. I'm sitting in the back seat of the car, and I have seen this with my own eyes. The grandmother get out, go into the daycare to get the grandson or granddaughter, whichever, and the baby cry to stay with the daycare mom. Y'all don't see this, do you? The baby cries, Miss Chris, to stay with the daycare mom. Well, if they're there for 8 hours, pay attention to me, if they're there for 8 hours, do this, then who in the name of heaven are they going to bond with? How can they ever learn the heartbeat of a mom when the baby is in with a daycare? I got to show you this now. Hang on. I'm going to talk about sitting still, going back until we die. Let me read Titus 2. Look, if you would, in verse 4. That they may teach you young women to be sober, to love their did I say that, love their husbands? The aged women are to teach to love their husbands. Now watch. Ooh, it's getting quiet. To love their husbands, to love their children. I thought it was as natural as breathing air for a woman to love her children.
Right.
How do you do that, preacher? By example.
Yes.
Now we don't have, Miss Miller, how many children did you have?
Six.
How many did you have at one time? I'm talking about adoptive children.
48.
Woo! Great day in the morning. Sis, no wonder you're gray-headed. But Brother Benny, hang with me just for a minute. Families don't have a lot of children anymore.
Right.
Isn't that right? So she and I was talking about today. The siblings don't teach the other siblings because there's none there. Well, mom's in the factory Now, just say amen. Children need to bond with their mother. I've seen this on the news today where that children, where mothers breastfeed their babies, how much better their children are healthy than they are putting them on formulas. Who in the name of heaven ever came up with formulas for babies? Look at y'all's faces. Who? I'm talking about when a baby looks up at its mom, or when a mom looks down at the baby's eyes. Amen, sister. Don't start this stuff with me. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was in the womb. Says he leaped for joy. What I'm trying to get you to see, how can a baby bond with its mother if the mother's off somewhere, 3 weeks later, give it to the whoever. Right. Now, don't get mad at me. Please don't do that. I don't believe grandparents ought to raise their grandchildren. Yeah. It ought to be should be the mothers. They ought to have responsibility to take care of their own children. Thank God for grandmothers and grandparents. Because if they wasn't, these children wouldn't have a snowball chance. Amen. Right. But I'm talking about, I want you to get this. We're talking about having a revival. If we go back, we're going to die. If we just sit still, we're going to die. I heard Brother David Carr this morning on radio. I'm always listening to radio. And this morning on the call-in, on sounding off, this man called in and he said, talking about what should we do about the border down there? Should we be compassionate people? Should we be caring and let all the illegal aliens come into America and give them $3,080 a month? I don't get no $3,080 a month. $3,080 a month. They had, how many married did they say? They had 55,000 that came through El Paso, Texas. I think it was. 55,000 illegal aliens came through. Now, don't start nothing with me. I don't mind them coming over here if they want to work and learn English. Let me say that again. And learn English. Oh, look at y'all's faces. Y'all need to go to the post office on the last of the month or the first of the month and pull what little hair out of my head. Do y'all understand people from Honduras and Mexico? Do y'all understand they have a honcho? Most of them can't speak English. So they go into a post office and they're going to buy money orders. They can't say English, Brother Billy. They're lined up. Now they got to get somebody to speak, the honcho to speak English, and he can't speak real good English. And then you just stand there in line. I've learned not to go the first of the month or the last of the month. That irritates me. Then we have to go get somebody that can speak fluent Spanish to get a money order. My heart goes out to them, but could you not have been born in Mexico, Jess? When I was down there in Mexico, can you be $3 and $4 a day is a big income? Yeah. And I'm talking about an executive. That's a fact. That works for a refrigerator and a washing machine. I mean, a big income is $5 a day. You'll never convince me that if they want to abide by our, if they come here, they ought to learn English. Right. Be Americans. Could I tell you something? I don't know why I'm on set, but it's okay. How many of y'all remember Ellis Island in New York? When the immigrants come through Ellis Island, guess what they done? They were going to come to America. We're talking about any nationality other than American. All right, they had to learn a whole, at the discretion of three judges, and after they got ready to be nationalized, they would hand them a book, and tell them, I want you to watch this. Jess, read this. Right. All right. At whatever discretion was of that judge, and they had to read that paragraph or read that page in English.
Right.
That was one of the qualifications before they were ever nationalized.
Right.
These bleeding hearts and these liberals, shut up, Evan, be good. Yeah. We're talking about sitting still. Going back, we're going to die. If we just sit still, we're going to die. Brother Billy, I believe revival is imperative.
Yeah,
buddy, I believe it with all my heart and soul. It's not more money what we need. That's not the answer. Right. What we need is God to breathe upon us our anemic lives and change us. Yes. Divorce rates, 1 out of every 2 marriages. Folks, there ain't going to be no such thing as marriage by 2025. There ain't going to be no such thing as a home. There ain't going to be no such thing as children. Look at the ones that's now that's 16. What kind of value system are they going to have when they get 20? Do this or something. Amen. What is our church is going to be like? Let me show you now. Hurry up. I got to go. I'm asking you, which direction are we going? All right, if we go back, they said we're going to die. If we sit still, we're going to die. And I want you to watch. I mean, we are in this mode. I thought to myself, where would you be at tonight if God had not raised up Jordan Baptist Church? Where would you be at if Brother Benny was not here? Where would you be at if you didn't have somebody that taught you the Word of God? I remember when he was in that 2-week, that storefront over there in Burnside. Woo! Sometimes it'd be wall-to-wall people in there, wouldn't it? But here's what I'm saying. But what would your life be like? What would you be involved in? What would your children be like? You ought to thank God for a good church. You ought not want to be a hindrance. You ought to want to be a blessing. Now watch. I got to show you this. So they said if we go back, we're going to die. If we sit still, we're going to die. Now we're asking you which direction you're going. Now look in 2 Kings. Now I want you to watch. This is going to get a hold of your heart. 2 Kings chapter 7. They said if we just sit still, I mean, we're going to die. If we go back, we're going to die. Now look, if you don't mind, in verses, where am I at? All right, if they made this up in their minds. Now picture this in your mind. They said, they're talking, now there's 4 of them. If we go back, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. Now they're lepers. All right, let's just go throw ourselves into the hands of the Syrians and just maybe they'll let us live. Now look down, if you would, in verses 6. For the Lord hath made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots. And he goes on, and they left the camp just like it was. Just everybody left, scared to death, but God had done that. Now drop down and look, if you would, in verse 7. Their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now look in verse 9. Brother Billy, can you see them when they're lepers, right or wrong? Yes. They're starving to death. Yes. What do you believe they done when they first went into that camp and all of them was gone? I bet their eyes got as big as a colored man eating watermelon. Absolutely. Y'all don't believe that? Man, they hadn't eaten, Kathy. They're hungry. Now watch this. So they load up with everything. Say, man, they load up Jimmy with everything. Then they say, we don't do well. Everybody back in the city, they're dying. Now watch. The Lord hath made it. Boy, I love this. Now I want you to we're going to solemnize this. He said, all right, if we go back, we're going to die. If we sit still, we're going to die. And I want you to watch this. Look in your Bible. We can step up and go forward and live. Hey, Brother Billy, quote John 10, verse 10. I have come that they might have and have life. Okay, it's wonderful to have life, but it's better to have life more abundantly. Yes. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. Yes. I'm saying we can go forward and live. All right, you don't have to agree with me. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's us that's changed. It's not Him. Folks, I've been in evangelism for 39 years of my life, 50-some plus years. But I have literally seen it bottom out in the last 25 years. I'm in a different church every week of my life. And I've seen the bottom just fall out of it. I know churches give anything in the world to have a pianist like Brother Porter. They don't have a piano player. I know churches that give anything in the world to have a whole bunch of young people like y'all have got. Because a lot of them don't even have one. I know churches give anything in the world for a good godly man. But they don't have one. And most of them are hirelings. Just might as well just say amen. It's only what they can get out of it or whatever. Say amen. All right, 2 Kings says, the doings of the Lord in verses 9. I want you to watch it. Verse 6. I'm sorry. For the Lord, that's verse 6. For the Lord hath made the host of the city. That's the doing. The Lord can change things. Say amen. How many of you in this building have ever went to bed on an old feather bed? I want to see hands. Do y'all remember how the houses used to, they wasn't insulated and triple pane windows like we got now? And used to have feather beds, and used to, we all slept, there'd be three of us in one bed. Mom would come in, yeah, or more. And my grandma would say, come in, and she'd say, you might get cold, put another quilt on you. You might get cold, put another quilt on you. Boy, they made quilts back then. And so you're in that feather bed, and here you lay on there, and all your nose is still sticking out, just your nose. You can't move, you're just laying there like this. And you're watching, you're doing your breath. It's that cold in there. You remember that? So the little one, that was me, had to get up and make the fire. Yeah, but Brother Biddy, but if when you put your feet on that cold linoleum floor, do y'all know what I'm talking about now? And you went in there, and boy, you praise God. That, I mean, there's any coals at all in that fire. You'd use a poker, but then you'd open the bottom of it and hope to God there's coals in there. You'd say, then you'd get, we didn't have no kerosene. We'd use little strips of tar or whatever we had, or kindling to get the fire going. But y'all remember how you put your pants on like this, getting in there to the fire? Y'all don't remember. Then you go to the kitchen and it would be ice on the bucket. Okay, now watch this. The doings of the Lord. Look how good God's been to us. You could have been born in the dark regions of the jungles of Africa. Have you ever just thought about it? Verses 6, it says, for the Lord hath caused. I love it. It was the Lord's doings that everything changed. Now watch this. They said, if we go back, we're going to die. All right, if we sit still, we're going to die. But if we'll go forward, we're going to live. Just maybe. Well, there's a God in heaven that made us and cares about us.
Yes.
All right, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it has to be us.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but boy, I like this abundant living.
Yeah.
Brother Billy's kidding me. I am getting better. I am. I don't know how many weeks I've been out revival meeting, but I'm getting better physically after all this health problems. But I got to thinking about how the doings of the Lord, and I thought about the decision. They got faith, they got food. They look in your Bible.
Right.
And the Bible says, we do not well, for this is a day of good tidings.
Right.
I think we take way too much for granted. Now here's what I want you to do. Which direction are you going? You can go back to the world, and that's not a friend. Now don't look at me like that. You can do it. You've got a will. You can do anything you want to do.
Right.
But if you're saved, God will make you change your will. All right, you can go back to the world and you can die. All right, you can sit still and die. Y'all ought to change the atmosphere around here. Brother Billy can't do everything. Where is them old saints of God at that used to raise their hands and shout a little? Where's the old saints of God? I guess I'm ruined. I know I'm ruined.
Yeah.
I know I am. You know I'm ruined too. Did you ever go with me to Davis Memorial? I know you went down to Victory Baptist down at Brother Earl Cook's years ago.
Yeah.
I was in my middle, well, we had two kids. It had to be back in the 60s. A man by the name of Brother N.G. Lemons.
Yeah.
He had this big old church, had a balcony. I'd never seen a church that big in my life. And what he had a fellowship meeting, and what he did was the church wanted every preacher and their wife to come for 3 days. He would feed you, put you up, and you have services all day long. I'd go in there, Brother Biddy, and they had one of the best choirs I ever heard in my life. Oh, Lord. The atmosphere was so electrifying, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you just can't believe it, what the spirit was like in that place. But I'll never forget it. I had a Sony reel-to-reel recorder.
Right.
And I set that Sony reel-to-reel recorder. Now, remember, I'm in my 20s. And I wanted to record everything. I had such a hunger for the Lord. I sat down behind, of all places, me and her. And by the way, before I get done with this, me and her, we'd get in a big fight when we went to church. Yeah, we would. She'd say, God ain't a million miles of that stuff. That's all that hysterical stuff. That's what she'd say. That's what she would say. Now she kicks a shoe every now and then. Every now and then, just not. We go to the motel room and she'd say, God ain't a million miles of that shouting and carrying on. But I'd sit in the back of these people. And that was the best choir I ever heard in my life. And this elderly woman asked Mary, she was real elderly and her veins protruded through her skin. She was real old, way up in years. She'd raise them little old hands, Brother Billy, and she'd say, well, thank you, Lord. And she'd wave them. I'd never seen nobody do that in my life. Yeah. There's thunderbolts going through my body. She'd take that handkerchief. I never will forget it today I die. Little old handkerchief. And she'd say, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was nothing. And them preachers would run out the building with their eyes back in their head. You ain't never been in a service like that in your life. And God would just melt old hard hearts. Ask her about it. Just ask her. All right, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We was at a church, and this man made this statement, and I'll never forget it till the day I die. He said, I got so backslidden on God till I didn't even want it. The church was so dead, I didn't want to go to church. He said, I'd go, but I didn't get nothing out of it when I went. In fact, he said, I was worse when I left than before. He said, when I came in, then when I left, I was in worse shape than I was when I came in. Well, it's not always the preacher. You can't blame the preacher. It's not his fault. It's not the preacher's fault. The atmosphere that we create, we ought to assemble ourselves to want to worship the Lord, praise the Lord. And we ought to want more than anything in the world to see reproduce ourselves spiritually. We ought to bring people to the house of God. We ought to get out and witness for the Lord. Amen. Get involved in people's lives. Get involved in these young people's lives. I love it. We can sit still and die. We can go back and die. But now watch this. We can go forward and just maybe God will just do something in our midst. That's what I want. This is what I want for my heart. I don't want just another series of meetings. I want God to do something for me. Change our anemic lives. Where you fall in love with fresh and new with the Word of God. Or when you look at people, you don't look at them just as a statistic. You look at them as they're hanging over hell by a thread. Did y'all never stop to think that people are just, you don't know how close they are to a ledge fixed to jump off. In every way, spiritually, physically, mentally. Amen, Sisson. How do you know it can't ever happen to Jordan that some man come through back door and with an AK-47 and kill about half of us? But it pays to be ready to leave this world. You know, I tell people all the time, this is foolish stuff. Brother Sisson, 80% of my church packing guns. Okay? Question. See that exit sign? See that exit sign? If right now, if somebody come in here, there's a shooter and going to kill a bunch of people, and somebody said, he's got a gun! Now what would people do? They're going to hit, they're going to find it. What you ought to do is bite the carpet.
Yeah, that's right.
Get your youngins to lay on top of them. Don't run for the exit. But what 90%, they're not taught what to do in case. I'm telling you folks, I know what y'all say, Brother Sisson, didn't they just have a shooting in a church just the other day? In a synagogue? Brother, this is the most dangerous time we ever lived in our lives. It pays to be right with the Lord. Now which direction are you going? I know which direction I'm going. Hammer down. Let me say that again. Hammer down. I know which way I'm going. Hammer down. They said if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go back, we're going to die. I ain't going back by the help and grace of God. I'd like to go forward. A real revival. Get some rejuvenation, some energy. Say amen. Now let's do it real quietly. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Let me ask you, which direction are you going? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday? Everybody's being real quiet, thank God. Amen. Listen, brother, you know as well as I do, this is the most volatile times that we have ever lived in our life. When Brother Porter starts singing, I want to ask you, how many of you would just get out of your seat and come and pray for yourself and pray for your family, pray for this church? and say, God, give us a moving of the Spirit of God. Change our anemic lives. You young people, God bless you. You ought to come tonight and thank God for Brother Billy and Miss Chris. I don't know who your instructors are, but you ought to thank God for them. You ought to go to your parents and thank God for your parents. Father, I love you. God, please help people to get the seriousness of the message on which direction they're going. God, I'm so glad you stand with arms outstretched. Come unto me, all of you that are laborers and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, there's people used to was so in love with the Word of God. Lord, they was in love with you. They was in love with the things of God. Now they've gotten cold and indifferent. And Lord, I'm sorry to say, Lord, we're like them lepers just sitting there. Just sitting there. Please, God, speak to people's hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Paul.